The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Metaxas Show.
Hey, for you Eric Metaxas trivia buffs out there, Eric's Secret Service code name is El Jerko.
Please make note of it.
And now the man who'll deny it, but it's true anyway.
Here's El Jerko himself.
My friend Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Before we get to our exciting guest, we've got another exciting guest. I want to talk about the Alliance Defending Freedom. Matt, are you ready just to let us have it?
Absolutely. Always happy to talk about our fight for freedom here in America.
Let's talk about it then, because honestly, we have been, and I should introduce you more properly. You are senior counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom. You're the director of the Center for Legislative Advocacy. We're doing a fundraiser for the Alliance Defending Freedom, and I keep making the case that this is almost like giving to Alliance Defending Freedom is like a down payment on our future, because our liberties are being attacked. There's no hyperbole here. You can mention some of the cases. I don't see this going away. What I do see is a need for ADF, which is why I'm begging my audience to help us out. So talk to us about, you know, what's happening right now.
Yeah, so much going on. Obviously, we've been working with a lot of churches across the country, just fighting for the right to keep the doors open, to meet together. The restaurants down the streets, the casinos in Vegas are open, and churches are being told that they can't gather together to worship. We've got others like Baronelle Stutzman, the sweet grandmother in Washington State, that's a florist and is now facing potentially millions of dollars in legal fees for simply declining to do a floral arrangement for a longtime customer's same-sex wedding. And so that case, we're at the Supreme Court. We're waiting to see if the court is going to take her case and grant her relief. And I just remind people, today it's Baronelle, or today it's a church in Vegas. Tomorrow it could be your shop. Tomorrow it could be your church that is coming under the boot of government restrictions. And Alliance Defending Freedom is able to stand with individuals and churches like that simply because of donations from your listeners that keep us going.
There are so many cases like this, and I want to be clear, just so you know, people tuning in who aren't aware of where we're coming from. In America, we have to understand how liberty works, and I think if somebody says, "Oh, well, in America, I can be part of a gay lifestyle," then the fact is, yes, that's correct. In America, the government doesn't really get involved in legislating morality or that kind of thing. Where we have come into some real problems lately is when the government tries to force people against their religious convictions, typically, it doesn't only need to be religious convictions, but against their conscience, to do something, to use, you know, we're not talking about selling hamburgers here. We're talking about using your creative gifts, for example, to bake a cake that's an artistic creation, to do a flower arrangement that, you know, you put your heart and soul into this. This is not just we're selling something. It's a special individualized thing. In America, we ought to have the right to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But the government and the culture is forcing people, trying to force people with religious convictions about sexuality and about marriage. And I have to say, folks, here's the issue. Even if you disagree with those people, even if you say Jack should bake that cake and Baronelle should do that, even if you disagree with them, which is your right, the idea that the government should force them to do that is another story entirely. And that's what we're talking about. And there are a host of those kinds of cases. Matt, talk about the case of churches where the government is coming in and saying, you can't have church. We're going to allow people to go to casinos, as you said, go to big box stores, do all this different stuff, but we're not going to allow you to have church. I mean, that seems like there's a real animus against Christians. I mean, how else are we supposed to interpret it?
Absolutely. As we've said, the coronavirus does not pick and choose victims, right? It doesn't say, oh, you're more likely to catch it in a church than a casino. It doesn't care. The government cares, though. And what we keep seeing is this pattern of anything that the government favors, you're allowed to open. Go ahead, open your doors to the public. But the things the government likes, does not like. Churches, religious organizations. We've even got a case in Oregon where religious schools are being subject to different restrictions than public schools.
Okay, all they're fighting for. I was hoping you can get to this because this one shocked me the most of all. We covered it on this program a couple of days ago, but tell my audience, because this one, no pun intended, this one took the cake. The Oregon governor had made a ruling. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was as simple that certain small public schools were allowed to start meeting in person. And when religious schools sought for that same treatment, they were shut down from it. And so we have an example of targeting of religious organizations for discrimination, targeting them for worse treatment. And these are families that are just saying, let our kids go to the school the same as these other small public
schools. Wait a minute, but say why. What shocked me is the reason given. I mean, you want to talk about, autocratic power. It wasn't even a plausible American kind of reasoning. It seemed just pure power. Explain why the governor of Oregon thought it was okay to tell a private Christian school, you cannot have school, but the public school can have school. What was the reasoning of the governor?
Yeah, so I mean, everything from warnings about a mass exodus from public schools and reduction in funding and all this, and it shows you that this was not about really caring for the schools or for the kids. It's about what is this going to do to our public schools, and so we have these threats of fines and other things being levied against these private schools out of this desire to say we've got to prop up our public schools at the expense of private schools.
But this is. This is unbelievable. I need to underscore this. You have a governor saying that we're going to punish private Christian schools because we want to prop up our public schools. And why do we want to prop up the public schools? Because we know that given a choice, many Americans would rather send their kids to these private schools, would rather send the kids to a Christian school, and we are not going to allow it. We are going to use our power to shut down those schools so that these parents have no choice and must send their kids to the public schools. This is utterly un-American. It is wrong on every level. But what gets to me, Matt, is that if it weren't for the Alliance Defending Freedom, that's that. There's no way to fight it. You have to have folks like you fighting it. You do it for free. And if people don't give to you, you're not even able to fight these battles.
That's right. These gifts of $50, $100, $200 are what enable us to quickly mobilize to stand with schools like the one in Oregon, to stand with people like Baronel and the churches. And when these orders come into effect, to quickly go into court and get relief for their freedom to meet together, to teach their kids, and to worship consistent with their conscience.
I just, we're all getting a civics lesson, Matt, because if these things weren't happening, we just go on with business as usual. But when I heard that story, and I think Hugh Hewitt, my Salem radio colleague, was the one to say, this is really the one that gets my goat, because this is the craziest of all, where you have something that it's pure power doing something to reduce choice, to say to people, like, we know you're going to be tempted to send your kids to that wonderful private Christian school. We don't want that to happen. And so we're going to shut you down. We're going to use the power of the state government to force you to close while we allow the public schools to open. I mean, it's a very clear case of government overreach, of not understanding the constitutional idea behind religious liberty, and there are many other things that come into it. But I say all this because I say to people listening, why won't this happen where you are? You don't need to live in Oregon to have people who think they know the situation, who are going to try to do this kind of stuff and who will do this stuff unless you fight back. And how are you going to fight back? The Alliance Defending Freedom will fight for you. They do it for free, but we need to help them now. So we're going to go to a break here, but I just want to ask folks, please, folks, I'm going to give you a phone number, and some of you can call this right now. You can go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on the banner, all kinds of ways we want to thank you. But call this phone number, 855-547-5333. Please do it now, 855-547-5333, 855-547-5333. Matt Sharp, thank you, and God bless you.
You too. Thanks, Eric.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I have the joy of speaking with a friend, Donna Rice Hughes. She is the president and CEO of Enough is Enough, fighting to make the internet safer for children and families since 1994. 1994 used to be 5 minutes ago. Suddenly, it's quite a while ago. Donna, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I want to talk to you about everything because you're working on a number of things right now. So where should we start? What are you working on that's on your heart that you want to talk about?
I think what's on my heart, Eric, is what is on a lot of people's heart right now. And that is we've seen a year in America that is unprecedented, really. We're in crisis. And I mean, there's just everything's been escalated with this pandemic, with COVID. We've seen an increase in world hunger twofold. We've seen increases in sexual immorality and child pornography has gone up. It was 69 million images that were reported this past year before the pandemic to the Department of Justice, and it went up four times the month after COVID. Sex trafficking cases went up 40%. Half of these cases, sex trafficking, involve children just in the U.S. We're finding kids sexting 186% more attempts during lockdown. Why? Because kids are online. There's virtual learning. Predators are online. Exploitation's gone up. And of course, the civil unrest, racial divisions, everything is just in a bit of a frenzy. And so that's been on my heart. And I've been meeting with some leaders for the National Prayer Breakfast over the past 5 months, members from both sides of the aisle, I might say, former members and a general and an ambassador, et cetera. And we've been saying, what would God have us do? And we believe God's calling us to call a 40-day time of prayer and fasting, a global call to repentance, to prayer and to fasting for the nation. And this is really a call to the church. So oftentimes I find that within the body of Christ, we're trying to fix everything out in the culture rather than letting repentance begin with us and for us to get on our knees. And so we just started this this past Saturday. We set up a website called jointhefast.org. Anyone can come. We ask you to sign on with us. Eric, you've joined us and lent your name, Kay Arthur, Dr. Dobson, and so many. And this is for all of us, really, because we believe that we're dealing with spiritual issues and spiritual battle here. And so that requires that we go to God for spiritual answers and breakthrough in our nation and in our own lives and inside the church.
Jointhefast.org. That is the website. People can go there right now. I think it's funny, Donna, you know, that when we talk about fasting, that's how we know we're getting serious, because I don't know anybody that likes to fast. But when you fast for something as important as what we're talking about, for our nation, for the election, for our children, for the state of the culture, it's worth doing. And somebody needs to take the leadership and set up something. And you were saying to me earlier that anyone can join this. In other words, this is not you and your organization. Anybody, any church can be a part of this.
Absolutely. In fact, this is not a project of Enough is Enough. In fact, we're not a faith-based organization. So we set this up completely different. We've got groups from all over the country joining, and we're saying either join us and come to jointhefast.org or set something up on your own within your own church community, within your own nonprofit or whatever. And we've got people that are from a Jewish background, from Muslim background, Catholic, Christians, evangelicals, you name it, who are saying, wow, I'm going to do this because things are getting really bad and only God can save us here. And the Lord tells us in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that repentance starts with us, with the people of God, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and turn from their own wicked ways. And so one of the things I wanted to share, Eric, because this has been my work over back to Enough is Enough, preventing the sexual exploitation of children, women, and men since 1994. Josh McDowell, who many of you know, is on my advisory board, and he travels all over the world. And he said, Donna, the number one problem I see inside the church is sexual brokenness and pornography. The new head of Promise Keeper said he believes that one of the key reasons we haven't seen revival and a global awakening is because of the sexual brokenness and the pornography issues inside the church. And this is some devastating content. Now, it's extreme. It depicts a lot of violence and teen rape and strangulation. This isn't the old, you know, stuff from 20 years ago. And our kids are spoon-fed this. And so I think it's really important, as I'm speaking to so many people who are born-again believers that are listening and watching, that, you know, let's look at this issue and other issues inside our own lives, inside our families, and go, Lord, where do I need to repent in this area of my life? And also Isaiah 58, which is one of our key verses for joining the fast, God is calling the people there to break the yokes in their own world. He's saying, you can fast all you want, but hey, you're not taking care of the hungry and the poor and even your own family. He said, I want you to fast unto me. And so this is, we believe that this is the key. This is really the key to turn us around, the nation around, and hopefully our world. Because as the church goes America and goes the rest of the world. So this is important.
Well, thank you. It's funny. I do know that if the church doesn't get serious, why do we think the country could be healed? I mean, Bonhoeffer said the church is supposed to be the conscience of the nation, and we are supposed to lead in this. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are many parts of the church today that have really drifted. And that, to me, the baseline is always sexual purity. That's the one where that's the easiest place to drift in this culture, in this sick, sexualized culture. And I was preaching, I guess it was in El Paso not so long ago, and I talked about this. How many young men or young women out there are not being sexually pure? I say, you want to have sex? That's fine. Get married. God has a purpose for it. Take that seriously. But if you expect God to bless you, you need to take that seriously. I think of that as just it's the most basic standard. It's not very complicated. And the church has drifted on that. People aren't preaching about that. It really is important that we understand that if we want God to bless us, we need to do everything we can to take him seriously, and he will help us. That's the other thing, is that the Lord wants to help us, but we need to make a decision to be serious about this, because if the church is not pure, or at least moving in the direction of greater purity, how can we possibly think this sick culture can get better? I want to talk to you about Netflix and this really monstrously evil program that they have put on called Cuties. I talked to some people about it. They told me things that they saw. They said, I want to see this for myself. Let me see it's as bad as they say. They told me some things that I don't think I could even mention on the air. This is mm-hmm. where we are as a culture. We tolerate this.
That's right, Eric. And I'm glad you brought up Cuties, because we've been talking about this. We've done a couple of press releases, and we actually have a petition that you can go sign at enough.org. We've asked two things in this petition. We're calling on DOJ to investigate Cuties on child pornography charges. A Texas grand jury has already indicted Netflix on child pornography charges. And we're also calling on Netflix to take this film off their platform and to also take all the other shows, because they've got some that are just as bad as Cuties, off their platform. And so this is where a lot of this stuff that we're seeing in the very hardcore porn industry, which is a multi-billion dollar industry, starting to seep in to online programming with mainstream media platforms like Netflix. And this is why we need to let our voices be heard. But one of the scenes in Cuties, I will say, is of a girl depicting a 11 or 12 year old girl who takes a picture of herself that I won't even describe because it's so graphic, and then post it online. This is called sexting. And one of the key biggest problems we're seeing with kids right now, even more so during COVID and lockdown, is an increase in sexting. This is when they take sexually explicit pictures of themselves, post them, or send them. They're actually creating child pornography under the law, which is illegal. So this is very, very dangerous. It puts them in harm's way of sexual predators and traffickers, and also could put them on a sex offender registry for life.
Donna, what is the website of your organization? Is it enough.org?
It is. It's enough.org. Absolutely.
Okay. That couldn't be simpler. Enough.org. I hope folks will go there because I agree with you. This is at the very heart of our sick culture. We can talk about why when we come back. Folks, I'm talking to Donna Rice Hughes, President and CEO of Enough is Enough, the website enough.org. We'll be right back. Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with MyPillow, you may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
Folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Donna Rice Hughes. She is the head of Enough is Enough, fighting to make the internet safer for kids and families since 1994. Donna, this seems like, you know, you mentioned whack-a-mole. I mean, how can it be that at this point, people at Netflix would be willing to make money off of something like Cuties? Now, that's a dumb question because, of course, since the beginning of time, we've had people really putting their consciences aside and being willing to make money off the most right. evil things. But it just strikes me as amazing in America that there's not more of an ability to help them understand that this is not helping them as a brand. Or do they think it is helping them as a brand?
I don't know that they do. One of the things, Eric, I said in a press release is that it's clear that Netflix and also the film's producers do not understand child pornography laws in this country, because it is simply illegal, period, to depict a child, someone under 17 or 18 years old, because there's state laws too, in a lewd way. And even if they've got clothes on, you can't do it. And this film, when I just saw the trailer for the film, I'm like, that's child pornography. That needs to be called out right now. And so I find that there was an ignorance. Now, the film's producer was French, so maybe it's different there. But the fact that Netflix attorneys allowed this is unconscionable to me.
Well, there's a moment I was talking to a friend who was trying to describe it to me, and it was so horrifying. We couldn't even find words really to describe it on the air. I would say that it depicted an 8-year-old essentially experiencing what we might call ecstatic fulfillment. Can I use that as a euphemism? As an 8-year-old on the film, in this film. And I thought to myself, this is a magnificent level of horror. I can't even imagine that somebody would think it would be okay to do this, even in France, which has had dramatically different standards than we have had in the U.S. But people have to stand up against this. And I kind of feel like there was a day when people would be scorned as blue noses and moralists. But I think that your average American has seen how far this will go. And your average American understands this is just not good for anybody.
That's right. And I think people do. And that's why we get a lot of petitions signed. In fact, we also called on a petition for Teen Vogue to just completely shut down because of the crazy things that they've been doing recently, including during COVID shutdown. They put out articles and everything and encouraging tweens and teens, their audience is 12 to 18 year olds, to keep their sex lives alive by sexting. Yeah, it's crazy. This is a Condé Nast publication. So we need people.
Yeah. We've talked about this. I mean,
it's baffling.
It's a stunning thing that people are unwilling. I mean, look, we know this. There are people that somehow would countenance abortion into the 9th month of pregnancy. There are people who really almost willfully blind themselves to the reality of what they're putting up with. They almost say it as a principle, but they're not willing to look at the reality of what they're doing. They seem to be standing for something else, and they're unwilling to look at the human cost. That's the only way I can rationalize it.
Well, I think what we have in our favor is that a lot of these companies are public companies, and they do feel the hurt in their pocketbook. And so petitions and calling them out and shaming them in the media, you know, actually really works. And so that is a good thing. But I'll also draw your attention to Romans 1 that talks about it. Eventually, you know, when sin just takes over, God then gives them over to all kinds of lusts. And sexual immorality is one of those. And we've seen our culture go this way for a long time, for a very long time. And that's why I think, and this is the area that I happen to work in. And when I see what's happening, I've been doing this 27 years. It's gotten so much worse, Eric. Hasn't gotten better. You know, we've got good laws. We're trying to even get some of the laws we have on the books enforced. And when we can't even do that, you go, dear Lord, have mercy on us, really. I mean, the church has got to say, we're going to get on our knees and pray for all these things, not just that, the racial unrest, everything. It's just all at a heightened level right now.
Well, we know that we need prayer. This is the thing. People say it, but do they do it? Do people pray? I think corporate prayer is a great thing because it's easier. It's kind of like saying, like, I want to start an exercise program. If you do it with somebody, it's just that much easier to do. But we do need to pray. We need to cry out to God. And I think that your proposal, jointhefast.org, I want folks to go to that, jointhefast.org, because we know ultimately this is the only way out of the situation. There's no logical way out of the situation. God will use people, but it has to be God and it has to be miraculous. And I really do think, Donna, that sometimes things get so bad that finally people wake up. And I think some of the things that I won't even mention on this program, but the news has gotten so vulgar. And I will say this as well. Conservatives and Christians often participate in the vulgarity. When they see somebody on the left fall, when they see somebody on the left embarrassed, they pile on with no grace. They forget that we're called to a higher standard. We're called to pray for our enemies. It doesn't mean we go along with the ugliness. On the contrary, we're going to go to break. I'm talking to Donna Rice Hughes. The organization is Enough is Enough. You can go to the website, enough.org. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the Eric Metaxas Radio Show. So why are you watching it on TV? That's my question. I want to say that it's a joy to talk to you, Donna, because you have been in this business for a long time. And we need people who are willing to take this on. And when I say it, I mean, you know, Internet safety for kids, talking about Teen Vogue. I mean, the filth that has come out, you don't need to be a prude to understand this is filth. If you're any kind of a parent or a grandparent, you just know this is not good for anyone. And somehow it happens. It's a free country. It's curious how this is allowed to happen. So you talk about prayer as being the main thing we can do. But let's talk about what are other things that we might do, because there are people listening thinking, I want to do something. I will pray. What else can I do?
Yeah, I would definitely sign up at Join the Fast and pray and fast, because fasting really unlocks the keys. But we have a whole website devoted to teaching parents how to protect their own kids in this culture from exploitation that's happening in the internet world and so through social media, online gaming, etc. And it's internetsafety101.org. And everything you need to know to keep your kids safe so the parent can be the first line of defense is there. You can also get to that site through enough.org. So that's really important that parents recognize that their child is not immune. Their family is not immune. I see it all the time. And Christian families, they just think because my kid's a good kid and a Christian, they're not going to get into trouble. They're not going to meet a trafficker or a groomer. They're not going to get addicted to porn when they're 9 years old. Nothing could be further from the truth, because the enemy is seeking who he can kill, steal, and destroy. The other thing that we're doing—
I just want to underscore what you just said. First of all, enough.org will take you to these other sites. The site we just mentioned is internetsafety101.org. You can get there through enough.org. But I want to say that most people love their kids, and many people have kids that are good kids. It doesn't make your kid immune from some of these things. And rather than be shocked on the back end, be proactive and put these things in place when you can. Go to enough.org and internetsafety101.org and begin to implement some of these things. Tell us about friendlywifi.org. What is that, Donna?
Yeah, well, that's one of the efforts. We partnered with a company in the United Kingdom, and we started the safe Wi-Fi effort here in the United States, trying to get businesses like McDonald's and Starbucks, who are our first to sign on, to voluntarily filter child pornography and pornography on their public Wi-Fi. And so now we're talking to the airline industry, to the hotel industry, Hyatt, Hilton, Marriott, and others, saying this is a wonderful way to show your corporate responsibility and to also line up your digital policies to your corporate policies. So that's one of our many efforts. We also have the Internet Safety Presidential Pledge that Donald Trump signed last go around, and Hillary Clinton supported. We've got that going out to Joe Biden right now. So this is our effort to get the president and whoever's in the White House and the administration to make the protection of children in the digital world a top priority in their administration. And it's really worked well in this past administration. We've seen this White House just go gangbusters on fighting child pornography and sex trafficking and other forms of exploitation. And we're hopeful that Joe Biden will also sign this as well. And but
I'm amazed at this late date you're saying that he has not. At this very late date, you're saying they have not.
Well, we sent it to them fairly recently, because just for a number of reasons, we didn't know how to get to them. But so we know that it's in the campaign's hand, and I'm very hopeful that he's going to sign it. So we'll see. But when you're talking about Christians coming together, one of the things that we're talking about at Join the Fast is what Jesus told his disciples when he departed and to his followers today. And that is, I give you a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. And that includes our enemies. And so as we're dealing with this election coming up, I think that we can be salt and light and really represent the love of Christ and not pile on, like you were saying, when someone that disagrees with us politically is maybe difficult in some way.
Or when someone falls, when somebody falls sexually or falls otherwise, the lack of mercy that I sometimes see, you know, if somebody really loves God and knows God, they know to pray for that fallen person, to pray and to have grace. But there's so many people that seem to enjoy watching other people suffer or twist in the wind for doing things that they may themselves have done. They seem to have no sense of perspective and of the idea that we need to pray for people, even if they are ideological or political enemies. And I really feel like until the church gets that, we are certainly not going to be salt and light very effectively. We need to show those with whom we disagree who we really are. And if who we really are is filled with schadenfreude and joy when people fall, that's not showing the love of Jesus, let's be honest. So I do want to say that, because this is epidemic in America. We know it. It's horrifying. And we need to show grace, because there's so many people walking around with guilt, and we want to say, hey, we want to help you. We don't want to condemn you. This is not about condemning you. It is about condemning the people profiting off of this. And you've been very clear about that.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that that's too where the church can really do much better and be a safe place where people aren't shamed when they're struggling, whoever they are, that they can come and be welcomed and loved the way Jesus loves. Because he says they'll know you and they'll know me by the way you love each other and by the way you love others that disagree with you and even love your enemies. And that's, you know, that's a big message for right now when we're just throwing bombs all the time on social media and on air, and we see it and we're all, you know, can you know, well, really get humble on that with the Lord.
It's been said a million times, but I'll repeat it here, that, you know, people who consume pornography are destroying their own ability to have a healthy human relationship with a spouse. You make it more and more difficult because our brains are plastic, and we really are reshaping our minds along dark lines. And people need to understand that there's a human cost to this. And one of the reasons we're in such a dark place as we are as a culture is because of the breakdown of families, because of the breakdown of marriages. And so pornography is the enemy of families. It's the enemy of good relationships between husbands and wives, between parents and their kids. We're out of time, Donna, but I just love having you on. Thank you for all you are doing. Folks, go to the website enough.org, and we look forward to continuing this conversation in the future. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. A few minutes left in today's program, but this is where it gets crazy. Albin.
Yes.
If people are listening on the radio, they cannot see what you're holding, so I will describe it to them. You have two brown corrugated cardboard boxes.
Yes.
In one of those boxes is the beard that you shaved off because someone sent $1,000 to ADF.
That's right.
In the other box is the mustache you shaved off because two people stepped up yesterday to give $1,000 to ADF. You are now fresh out of facial hair.
That's it.
And we don't know what we're going to do. But then we thought, wait a minute. These people, they only paid to see, I got to use an animal metaphor, to see these hogs killed and butchered.
That's right.
But they didn't pay for the meat.
Nope.
The meat, which is to say your facial hair is for sale. It's fresh. It's great for grilling outdoors. And if people want to have a piece of your beard, this is a piece of history, folks. Yeah. We want you to give to the Alliance Defending Freedom. Now, look, there's a million ways to go. I'm going to give you the phone number. We joke around a lot, but this is about one of the most serious things imaginable. It's about religious liberty in America. I think I spoke to you yesterday and another time about the governor of Oregon. This is where we are today. Then you need to step up as an American citizen. The governor of Oregon said that they are not going to allow private Christian schools to open. Why? Because they don't want people to be tempted to send their kids to those schools. They're only going to open the public schools. That is completely unconstitutional, completely in contravention of religious liberty, of, I'm sure, a number of statutes. If we don't speak up for this and we don't fight, we're at the mercy of leaders who are fundamentally ignorant of our basic laws, like the governor of Oregon is. So ADF steps up. They fight. They do it for free, folks. So when this comes to you and to your area, they will be able to fight for you. But we have to make a down payment on this because they can't do this for free. Please, folks, give to the Alliance Defending Freedom. They actually need help right now. Yeah. I'm going to give you that phone number. It's 855-547-5333. 855-547-5333.
Can I challenge Chris Himes? Do you have anything that you'll cut off for like $500 or $1,000?
Is there no facial hair you're willing to part with for the cause of religious freedom?
I don't know. I might cut off all contact with some relatives, maybe.
Yes.
Ooh, that's good.
All right. Well, look, I want to say that the phone number is 855-547-5333. We need everyone to participate. I've told you all who listen to this program over and over that what we're willing to do for you, I've even said for $10,000, and many people are able to give that to a cause like religious liberty, folks. This is kind of a big deal. I'd love to spend the evening with you. We can have dinner in a mutually convenient city or location and time. I will go out of my way to make that happen. We need your help. We have a quick quote from U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr. Let's play that.
The Constitution doesn't get suspended during times of crisis. But in America in 2020, that's exactly what happened. In response, Alliance Defending Freedom took legal action well over a dozen times, scoring 14 victories for churches and religious ministries whose governments engaged in blatant religious discrimination.
I think Bill Barr inhaled some helium just before he spoke. Oh, actually, no, it was a woman at ADF reading what he said. But this is very important. We're out of time. I'm asking you, folks, we need everybody to help do what you can. This is a very, very important, timely thing. Don't miss the debate tonight. We're going to be commenting on it on Twitter and tomorrow's program.